EAI.org, the program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week at 2 a.m. following the work of the Midnight Ravers. And at 5 o'clock, it's time for Back of the Book.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It's probably about 5 a.m., and you're listening to All Circus Boy is the Only Monkey Left, Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners wherever they may be.
Indeed. And we're going to talk about various things on this radio program, and you can find out a little bit more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com, and you can look around at things up there. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen. It will say latest Back of the Book program links, and you'll be brought to the web page for this morning's radio program. Okay, the WBAI website and the archives seem to be functioning. If you find that the archive isn't there or is screwed up in some way, write to me, rpm@glib.com. That's rpm@glib.com. Just send me an email, or you can go up on Twitter and send me something, I suppose. And you can go up there and say, "Hey, R. Paul, there's something. Just tell me what the detail is with what's wrong with the archive, and I'll talk to management. And if management can't fix it, I'll post my own archive," which we've done a number of times in the past. This is our 69th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. We are recording this program, of course. It's recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And the top story of the past week throughout the entire world is: we are holding at the astronomical number of 117 followers on Twitter. Woohoo! It's a gigantic number. The next WBAI local station board meeting is scheduled to be held on January 4th, 2022. But it will be an executive session, quote, "to discuss personnel matters," unquote. So you won't be able to hear it. Oh, I know you're disappointed. You want to hear these LSB meetings because they're even more thrilling than this radio program. The next WBAI local station board meeting that you will be able to hear the thrilling details of will be held on January 12th, 2022 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. We're supposed to elect WBAI's directors to the Pacifica National Board at that meeting, and we'll see what else comes up at that meeting. We had an odd mix of the 11th and 12th WBAI local station boards meeting this past Wednesday night. There was a delegates assembly meeting, and it happened right before the local station board meeting. A majority of the WBAI local station board had voted last month to hold a delegates assembly meeting before the local station board meeting this month in order to allow the members of the 11th WBAI LSB to vote on four amendments to the Pacifica Foundation bylaws that had been presented. And I'll note here that what happens is the LSB changes now and again. You know, we have these elections, so every time you have an election, that's a new local station board. And I've broken these out on my website, and you can go up to glib.com and you can see all those thrilling details. Now, at the November local station board meeting, I questioned why things had to be done this way. And I don't know, the explanation I got didn't make a great deal of sense to me. Anyway, I think that we could have allowed the members of the 12th WBAI LSB, which is mostly the same members as the 11th LSB, that's local station board, vote on all of this. I guess that the LSB members who had been in favor of the bylaws amendments counted the votes and decided that they'd do better with the 11th LSB members than with the 12th LSB members. And, yeah, the bylaws need to get 13 votes in order to pass, and they got that. So, yeah, might have been some vote counting in there. Yeah, they squeaked through. I voted, well, there were four of them, and I voted for some of them. I voted against some of them, and I abstained on one that I believed was out of order entirely. Turns out, the one bylaws amendment I said was out of order was indeed out of order, but maybe not for the reason that I'd cited. So there you go. Oh, boy, and all sorts of fighting about that, an appeal of a ruling, and anyway, that's what happened there. And so we passed four of them at the delegates assembly, but only three of them are ever going to go anywhere, if they go anywhere at all. So immediately after the end of that, we had the first meeting of the 12th WBAI local station board. And it started really literally seconds after the delegates assembly ended. And we elected the officers of the local station board for next year. And the chair and vice chair of the local station board will be elected by some company that will send out virtual ballots and count the votes. Well, okay, they'll be elected by the local station board members, but it's going to have, because we're not there and we can't fill out paper ballots, we're doing it over Zoom, we have to basically go to a company and they send us emails and say, you get to vote, and here you go with all of that. And, yeah, there it goes. We've done this before. It works. For these companies, this is an extremely tiny election. There are only 24 possible votes, then it's not a big deal for them. Anyway, so it's going to be some weeks, I think, before we know who got elected to some of the offices. However, no one contested the office of secretary, and so Mr. John Hoffman was elected secretary by acclamation because no one else was nominated to run for that office. Mr. Hoffman's not a voting member of the local station board, but the bylaws allow for the offices of secretary and treasurer of the local station board to be held by people who are not voting members. And I got reelected treasurer because I also ran unopposed, so they don't have to have an election for those two offices. And I will point out, I am a voting member of the local station board, but I'm also the treasurer again. I've been the treasurer for a number of years now. Anyway, there we go, and all of that wonderful stuff is done. The usual December meeting happened, and now we'll see what happens for the rest of the year. because this is going to be another election year for the local station board, and it will be grandstanding and electioneering during these things, and oh boy, oh boy. And the occasional nutcase will show up. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 268,978,748 on Friday, and global deaths reached 5,293,608. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 49,759,770, and the death toll in America was 796,051. So, 9,153 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. And that's a bit lower than the previous week's numbers. A fast calculation in my head shows around 1,400 to 1,500 fewer people died of COVID-19 in America this past week than in the week before. But there are still places where the intensive care units are jammed up because they've got so many unvaccinated people showing up. And now the Omicron variant is starting to wheedle its way into vaccinated people who aren't quite vaccinated enough. If you've gotten three shots of the Pfizer or Moderna, you're probably covered. If you only got two, you may not be able to fight off COVID-19. You could go into the hospital, but mostly what they're seeing are very mild cases in vaccinated people. It's the unvaccinated who end up face down on a bed with a ventilator going down their throat, pumping air into them because they can't breathe anymore. Ugh. And this is what's going on now. They're still not sure about a lot of the details of the Omicron variant. And Jesus Christ, it's looking like maybe it's not as deadly as Delta, but it's four times more infectious, which is gigantic. That's a very infectious disease because the Delta variant was more infectious than chickenpox, which was one of the most infectious diseases in the world. And the Omicron is four times more infectious than Delta. So, yeah, you can get that thing damned easily. Wow. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we've cited about mortality and morbidity will be higher, of course. And I will say again, this was all mostly preventable. And in talking about COVID-19 and the pandemic and stupidity around it, another ignorant politician is shooting his mouth off about things he obviously has no understanding of at all. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican from Wisconsin, is getting plenty of press coverage over some stupid things he's been saying. Of course, getting press coverage in and of itself is a goal of a lot of these petty politicians, although petty politician applied to a United States senator, they're like that, but they have this power. So petty politicians with power. Boy, I hope I'm not popping peas on this SM58 with that. In any event, so you've got these guys, they like publicity. Maybe he figures negative publicity is still publicity. This past Wednesday, during a town hall discussion, Senator Johnson said, quote, "Standard gargle mouthwash has been proven to kill the coronavirus," unquote. And he also said, quote, "If you get it, you may reduce viral replication. Why not try all these things?" Unquote. Shades of Trump's question about maybe injecting people's lungs with bleach, you know? Stupid people. Anyway, one of the important things here is Yeah, they're looking at, there was a study and they found that if you look at saliva, viral load into saliva is reduced with mouthwash, of course. However, this is not, mouthwash isn't going to help you much unless, of course, you start shooting it out your nose. And then you probably need to stand on your head because there is the nasal pharynx. That's the hollow part of your head, one of the hollow parts of your head. Some of us have many hollow parts in our head. Anyway, it's the hollow part of your head in back of your nose. It's called the nasal pharynx. And that's where a lot of infection happens. That's why you got hairs in your nose. Well, I'm going to talk about that at some point, but not on this program. In any event, so the nasal pharynx is back there. And the nose, basically you inhale the virus and it starts finding its way into the mucous membrane of the nose or into the mucous membrane of the nasal pharynx, which is in back of the nose. And, you know, that's right above where you're swallowing, you know. And so this is why you get postnasal drip. In any event, this is a pretty stupid thing, he said, because you're not washing your mouth out isn't going to do anything to the virus that's in your body already. And Jesus, washing out your nose, by the way, washing out your nose and your nasal pharynx with mouthwash would be a very painful kind of thing to do, and it probably still wouldn't work. Anyway, if it's already in your saliva, by the way, it's too late to stop it. It's not floating in and getting in your saliva and doing anything. It's floating into your nose mostly, or your eyes, but mostly your nose. And it's in your body. And the reason it's in your saliva is because your saliva glands are putting out saliva that already has it in it, which means you're infected. Ah, stupid people. So yeah, in that case, you're infected. And so you can't prevent the infection by mouthwash. And viral replication takes place inside the living cells of your body. And God damn, maybe the senator was confusing bad breath with a deadly disease. Maybe he doesn't know the difference between halitosis and COVID-19. I don't know. And of course, a dose of alcohol will kill bacteria and tear apart viruses. We know this. This is not something new. This was figured out very well in the 19th century. And if a dose of alcohol gets inside your cells in sufficient quantities, not a molecule here and there, if a sufficient amount of alcohol gets inside your cells where the virus actually is being replicated, it'll kill your cells too. I don't know, would Senator Johnson recommend that people use mouthwash to ward off or cure chickenpox or measles or any other airborne viral disease? What do you do? Maybe he's that ignorant. I don't know, maybe he would. The Johnson & Johnson Company, no relation to the senator, which produces one of the three main COVID-19 vaccines, says its Listerine antiseptic mouthwash, quote, is not intended to prevent or treat COVID-19, unquote, and that it should be used to freshen breath. In an effort to make himself look not quite so stupid, Senator Johnson issued a statement that says he doesn't recommend mouthwash as an alternative to vaccination, but he's not urging his constituents to get vaccinated against COVID-19 either. Senator Johnson then started mocking infectious disease experts, calling them, quote, the COVID gods, unquote. His statement said that elected officials, not scientists, understand what best serves the public. What a jackass! He said, quote, it's lunacy. Americans did not elect career government bureaucrats like Dr. Fauci, Dr. Walensky, and Dr. Collins to run our lives. We believe in individual rights, unquote. So what, we elected public officials like this ignoramus Johnson to run our lives? Bleep you, Senator Johnson. You and the horse you rode in on. Yeah, let's not pay attention to the people who've spent a good portion of their lives learning about biology and medicine and who have a track record of understanding things like infectious diseases and how to fight them. Let's let right-wing Republican politicians handle all of that. In fact, let's expand that idea. So the next time Senator Johnson needs major surgery, he should get Mitch McConnell or another Republican senator to cut him open and make some repairs. Senator Johnson is also a conspiracy nut. He has suggested that, quote, fake Trump supporters, unquote, were responsible, in part, for the January 6th insurrection. His past views on the COVID-19 pandemic got his YouTube channel suspended in June, so he's really a serious bozo nutcase. And we've also heard the story of a married couple who had both contracted COVID-19 and who were both hospitalized and who were not vaccinated, and they were against getting treated for COVID-19. They refused to be treated for it. And as they lay dying, they were refusing their treatments for COVID-19 because they were in denial that they had any such thing. And so they both died denying the reality that killed them.
How I wish that episode of Star Trek Voyager could be a reality. The crew gets infected by a virus, a little virus, and it pops out and starts growing and growing and growing until it's so big it's the size of two dogs, and it starts chasing people around, and it has a tail with a barb on it, and that's how it reinfects people. How I wish the virus were that big, because do you think if it was that big, could people ignore it then? Oh, I bet they wouldn't if the virus was chasing them down the street, trying to barb them.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I remember that episode. The virus is like a yard across, you know, three feet across and about 3 feet high. And yeah, and it floats in the air somehow. I don't know how the virus actually flies. But anyway, yeah, I think that there would still be idiots like Senator Johnson who would be in denial about it.
Oh, not as many, though.
That's true. They wouldn't last long against that damn thing.
You know, Captain Janeway has a knife fight with the virus. You know.
Get your phasers out, people.
Yeah, get your knives out. Here comes the virus. Oh, there'd be so... People would be begging to be vaccinated.
Yes, I'm sure they would. Except how big would the needle have to be? Anyway. yeah, it's like... I mean... Geez, we're so far into the pandemic now. 2 years ago, it was there in Wuhan. There was information starting to leak out that something was happening in Wuhan like this. So it's 2 years that we're into this, and it's killed almost 5.3 million people dead in the world. And we know that's an undercount. And, you know, people are in denial about this. And how... It is just amazing to me. I can see being an anti-vaxxer more than I can see being in denial of the fact that there's this disease. It's really manifesting itself, unless they figure what's happening is the angel of death is coming around and getting a whole lot of people because, I don't know, he's getting paid more.
We have all these people, millions upon millions upon millions of people who, either of those reasons, will not do what they need to do to protect themselves and other people. 20 months of this, 20 months going from when we had nothing except distancing and masks to wear to keep each other safe. And now we're at a point where the numbers are going up and up. I wish there was a giant virus. I wish the virus would sit on people. If it could sit on people and affect their breathing that way, I bet they would get a shot. I bet they'd get a shot.
Maybe what they need to do is construct a new virus. And this virus, when it infects you, you start to smell like a fart. And so when people get infected, they smell like a smelly fart. And that would probably make them say, oh, this is real. I better get a vaccination before I start smelling like a big fart.
That's an interesting concept.
Well, I don't know. I thought it was an idea.
It's pretty good, actually. Yes, it takes away from some of the horror of this situation.
Yeah. Well, yeah, all you can do is say, oh, how the hell does this happen? And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. And the sun is now still setting at 4:28 p.m. Eastern Time, the earliest sunset of the year in Brooklyn, where we live and where WBAI is located. This deplorable condition will end this coming Tuesday afternoon, December 14th, when the sun will set in Brooklyn at 4:29 p.m. The winter solstice will occur on December 21st at 1 minute to 11 o'clock in the morning, and I've spelled this stuff out on my website, and I'll be glad to see the time of sunset getting later all of a sudden. And it's going to be pushed back by 4 hours and 2 minutes between now and the start of July. So far, more than 700 people have been arrested for taking part in the January 6th insurrection that had Trump fanatics attacking the United States Capitol in an attempt to prevent Congress from counting the ballots from the Electoral College. This past Thursday, a 3-judge panel of a federal appeals court ruled against former President Donnie Bonespur Trump's lawsuit that tried to prevent archived documents from the Trump administration from being released to the House January 6th committee. In a 68-page ruling, Judge Patricia Millett, writing for the court, said Congress had, quote, uniquely vital interests, unquote, in studying the events of January 6th. And she said that President Biden had made a, quote, carefully reasoned, unquote, determination that the documents were in the public interest and that executive privilege should therefore not be invoked. She also said that Trump had failed to show any harm that would occur from the release of the documents. She also wrote, quote, on the record before us, former President Trump has provided no basis for this court to override President Biden's judgment and the agreement and accommodations worked out between the political branches over these documents. Both branches agree that there is a unique legislative need for these documents and that they are directly relevant to the committee's inquiry into an attack on the legislative branch and its constitutional role in the peaceful transfer of power, unquote. And the decision went on to say that they weren't saying that Trump, quote, has no say in the matter, unquote, but that the issue is Trump's failure to show that withholding the documents should supersede Biden's, quote, considered and weighty judgment, unquote, that Congress is entitled to them. The court said, quote, both branches agree that there is a unique legislative need for these documents and that they are directly relevant to the committee's inquiry into an attack on the legislative branch and its constitutional role in the peaceful transfer of power. The court ruled that the injunction that has prevented the National Archives from turning over the documents will expire in 2 weeks or when the Supreme Court rules on an expected appeal from Trump, whichever is later. A Trump spokeswoman said, quote, regardless of today's decision by the appeals court, this case was always destined for the Supreme Court, unquote. And today we have learned that Mike Nesmith, one of the monkeys, has died. He passed away. He was age 78. And gee whiz, you know, I remember watching that program, and Pickles watched it. She was younger than I, and watching it. And you enjoyed that program, didn't you?
Well, yes. It was like a kid's show because I was a kid. I was like,
in many ways, it was a kid's show. I thought, however, back in like 1966, 67, I was thinking it had surreal qualities to it. And I said, oh, yeah, it is that. And okay, yeah. So I was finding it interesting. We have seen some episodes more recently. They're harder to watch now. Oh, boy, the things you think, oh, that's interesting, or that was cool, or whatever, when you're a young person. Sometimes when you're older, you look at it and say, what the bleep is. And so, yeah, so it was that. It was supposed to be comical, and it was, but it was all manufactured by the suits, as they called them in the old days, when you were allowed to criticize network management, and by the suits that said, oh, well, let's do this. I mean, the Beatles had gotten A Hard Day's Night, and the movie did well. And so the suits at, what was it, NBC, I think, said, hey, let's copy that, because that's what they do on TV. That's what everything is about, copying something else. The way you pitch a program to people who are running things in TV is to say, it's like this, it's like that program, or it's a combination of this program meets one aspect of that program. And that's how they have to do it, because the people who run TV are too stupid to be able to figure things out of, you know, some intellectual sort of presentation. You can't say, well, it explores, you know, the depths of human depravity or whatever, which is sort of what those network people do. Anyway, and so you pitch it to the network suits as this, like that. And that's how you do it. This is from people talking about what they've had to do to get their programs on the air. And of course, we all know that a lot of crap goes on the air and a lot of good stuff's been rejected. In any event, Mike Nesmith was, I remember reading a review about 1967 of him punching a wall or something, because they wouldn't let them do things. I mean, they wouldn't allow them to play the instruments or any of that. And he was furious, because you had people like Nesmith and Tork, who were real musicians. Peter Tork used to be a village fixture. He would be singing and playing guitar in all these village joints. And so Nesmith was a songwriter, and he played several instruments. The other two sort of could sing a little bit. You know, they were actors mostly. And so it came about that they put them together, and they wanted to just call Mike Nesmith, just have his name be Woolhat. That's what it was. And he wanted to be Mike. And so he got to be Mike. And the other guy, because they had a problem, because there are two Michaels, Michael Dolan. So Michael Dolan became Mickey Dolenz on that, which I think he had done when he was Circus Boy. That's our reference at the top of the show. Mickey Dolenz was Circus Boy, and then he became a monkey when he got big enough.
And Circus Boy was a television show for those of you too young to know.
Yes, that's true. It was a Circus Boy was a kids' TV show. In any event, so Michael Nesmith actually was able to fight to make it so that the monkeys could play their instruments, and that would be recorded, and that's what was put on the air and put on their records. And also, he wrote some songs, and they included some of his songs in the monkeys' repertoire. That was what he was fighting for, and then the whole thing fell apart. Oh, well. I was away for that. In fact, I would have been watching an episode of the monkeys hours before I went off to Fort Hamilton to be drafted. Really. Oh, strange days.
Mm-hmm. just a loudmouth Yankee, I went down to Mexico. I didn't have much time to spend, about a week or so. There I lightly took advantage of a girl who loved me so. But I found myself a-thinking when the time had come to go. What am I doing hanging around? I should be on that train and gone. I should be riding on that train to San Antonio. What am I doing hanging around? She took me to the garden just for a little walk. I didn't know much Spanish and there was no time for talk. Then she told me that she loved me not with words but with a kiss. And like a fool I kept on thinking of a train I could not miss. Gone. I should be riding on that train to San Antonio. What am I doing hanging around? Well, it's been a year or so, and I want to go back again. And if I get the money, well, I'll ride the same old train. But I guess your chances come but once, and boy, I sure missed mine. And still I can't stop thinking when I hear some whistle crying. What am I doing hanging round? I should be on that train and gone. I should be riding on that train to San Antonio. What am I doing hanging round? What am I doing hanging round? I should be on that train and gone. I should be riding on that train to San Antonio. What am I doing hanging round? What am I doing hanging round? I should be on that train and gone. I should be riding on that train to San Antonio.
Okay, so we actually have to pitch at this point. And this is one of those times when it's very specific and something is happening. Well, several things are happening. But the big thing that's happening right now is that WBAI is 2 months behind in paying what's called the tower rent. And as you all know, we come out of the Four Times Square and we have a transmitter up there and we feed into their antenna and we pay rent on all of that. Well, it's more complicated. There's a license involved and everything. Anyway, so we have to pay for that. And we're currently 2 months behind on paying for that. And it turns out the general manager is a little bit concerned because he has said that there is a provision in the contract that if we fall 3 months behind, they're going to turn off our signal. Oh, we don't want that. And so what's happening is we got to pitch. We got to ask you to call in and pledge some amount of money to keep us on the air. We're asking you to get up, go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950 and say you want a pledge to WBAI in the name of Back of the Book. And it's one of these things of where, oh boy, here we go. We've got another little emergency, not such a little emergency, but one of our emergencies is cropping up. And so you want to be able to help us to stay on the air quite literally, because I don't know precisely what date they turn us off if we don't have the dough, but they're looking like it. We are close to that date. So, yeah, this is something we need to actually get done. 1-212-209-2950. And so, yeah, this is the big emergency tower fund we're pitching for. If you go up to WBAI.org, you can see the big headline banner there that we're having a fundraiser for the tower fund. And this is what we have to do. And you're hearing it right now. So we really need for folks to get up, go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950. That's 1-212-209-2950 and say, yeah, I want to pledge a certain amount of money to help keep WBAI on the air, literally. And yes, 1-212-209-2950, you call them up and you say, I want a pledge in the name of Back of the Book. And this will help to keep Back of the Book on WBAI and will keep WBAI on the air. Again, we do not want to go into a third month of being in arrears in our rent because, you know, this isn't like, it's not like landlord-tenant stuff that goes on. It's Manhattan real estate and the radio transmitter. It's about Manhattan commercial real estate and how radio stations handle things. That's why some of it is called a license and not a rent, really. Although we call it tower rent. In the budget, it's tower rental because that's what, you know, works out for some other places. We are the people who spend the most on a tower. Other places, some of them have their own tower and easy access to an antenna. And things like that. We don't have that. We are in New York City. The WBAI is in, our studios are in Brooklyn, as the station break said. And the tower, however, is four times square. We're there because we couldn't handle the rent, as it's called, the tower rent, at the Empire State Building. And we got sued for millions of dollars. Oh, boy. We're still paying that off. So, 1-212-209-2950. If you pledge to that number, you will be able to say, yes, I am helping to keep WBAI on the air quite literally. This is to pay the tower rent. And if you pledge $25 or more, you'll become a member of WBAI and Pacifica. So, again, this coming year, we're going to have elections again. We're going to have more elections, and they will be for the local station board. Again, these are important elections. We don't want to get too many nutcases showing up on the local station board. Got at least one this past election. I won't say who it is, but yeah, you get enough nutcases on there and things go south very rapidly. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number. And we're handicapped here because we cannot tell who's calling in. This is a pre-recorded program. We can't get all excited and say this many people are calling in. We can't thank you on the air right here because we can't see the information. And we also need to make sure that people understand this is very serious stuff. The people at Four Times Square, they knew who we were when we went there. So they didn't do the stupid Empire State Building thing of, we'll fine you when you're late. And then they fine us and they fine us and we owe more and more. And then they sue us. When they first looked this stuff up some years ago, they discovered that there was something like 20 years of Empire State Building suing WBAI like that because we've always screwed up payments for the rent. And the rent at Empire State Building was unbelievably huge. This is a lot less. Interestingly, we still can't pay it on time. So when they signed the contract, they said, we're not going to fine you. We're going to do the thing that will really get your attention. You don't pay attention when we fine you, but you'll pay attention when you're not on the air anymore. And so that's what's written into the contract. If WBAI does not pay its rent, it's cut off the air. And they just do that. They throw a switch. Actually, I think there are two switches. One of them takes us off the antenna. which means you got a transmitter grinding away there and it's not doing anything. And the other one is they cut off the power because they have control of the power. In fact, we have to pay them for the power. Yeah, they all do this, these commercial buildings. They get the electricity from Con Edison, and then they slap on their own charges and resell it to you at a higher rate. 1-212-209-2950. We have to pay these bills. There's no way around it. We can't simply sit here and say, yeah, we're very important, so you have to let us be on the air. Well, no, they're not into what they're doing for importance. They're into what they're doing for money. They're trying to make money, which is something a lot of us have to do. Some of us aren't so good at it. But yes, WBAI needs to get a little bit better at it right now. And the way we do that is by having you call 1-212-209-2950. And, you know, there is unique programming here on WBAI. I personally think you got some unique programming here in back of the book. It's an overnight radio program that's airing at 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning, which is the result of, well, I won't get into all of that, how we moved from our old slot to this slot. But yes, 1-212-209-2950. That's the number to call and to say, hey, I want to support back of the book and WBAI and keep this radio station on the air. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number now and say, I want to support this unique programming and I want WBAI to continue annoying people by being on the air at 99.5. And if we were cut off, I don't know what happens then. I have never seen this particular contract. I saw the old Empire contract. I've never seen the four times square contract. So I don't know if they cut us off, what happens after that? I mean, I suppose we have to pay in full and then they'll put us on. I think they also wanted at some point a letter of credit where basically they would get to go to our bank and draw down money automatically. And oh boy, that would be a problem since BAI is rather, you know, BAI doesn't quite keep a lot of money in its bank account. You know, we usually have something that's less than 1 month's rent in the bank account, and we build up money and we send it out to them, and that's how it works. But we obviously haven't been able to do that for 2 months, now becoming 3 months. Yeah, October and November, we didn't pay our rent. December, I don't know what the due date is, but we probably haven't paid it yet, and we need to do that. We at least need to get some month's rent in there. 1-212-209-2950. That's the number you can call to help WBAI pay its tower rent. Without you helping us to do this, we're going to go away. And, you know, we had disruptions in October 2019 when some guy who happened to be an interim executive director of Pacifica, working in cahoots, in my opinion, with some other people in Pacifica, well, yes, definitely working in cahoots with other people in Pacifica, came in and shut down BAI and started piping in stuff from the West Coast. And, oh boy, that hurt the station. And not only for the fact that we were off, BAI itself was off the air for a month, but also the fact that people tuned away, and when people tune away, they don't tune back in all the time. And so we lost listeners. Now we have done a bit better. In fact, the general manager reported at the LSB meeting the other night that WBAI's latest QM, which is how they measure these things, the Nielsen ratings that we get now, our latest QM is 0.4. Which you say, God, that's a tiny amount. That's a lot better than the 0.1 we had. And I can tell you that I remember years ago under a certain other management, a certain kleptocracy in the early 2000s, when we dropped down to a 0.3. Subsequently, we dropped down to a 0.1 during that kleptocratic regime, and now we're a 0.4, so we're doing better in terms of listenership, but Yeah, how do we pay the bills? We're not getting the money. The way we get the money is from you. And the way we manage to save ourselves is to ask you to save us. And if you send in $25 or more by calling 1-212-209-2950, you will become a member of WBAI and be able to vote in the elections next year. And that's an important thing. And so you got two important things. One, your ability to vote in an election next year, and two, the ability to keep WBAI literally on the air, because if they turn that switch, either one of them, we're off the air and you're not going to hear us. It's going to be nothing at all at 99.5 except for the pirates. Yeah, there are pirates in Brooklyn who want to camp on 99.5. I don't know why they think that's a smart idea. I guess they just don't like WBAI and its diversity. But 212-209-2950. We need you to call that number now. Please, please, if you've listened to this radio program and we've done stuff that's been amusing to you or informed you in some way, and we do talk about science topics. We're not going to do science now because we are required to do this rather lengthy pitch. 1-212-209-2950. We're having to do this right now, but we do science topics, and we do them in a better way than some of these high-priced news programs do it. If you hear about a news item with the sciences on most of the TV news stations, they laugh it off because they don't understand any of it. They can't pronounce the words related to it, and they think it's a big joke because, oh, yeah, something like that, ha ha. And so, you know, you don't get much of a real actual coverage of any science topics on TV news or generally on TV. And so 1-212-209-2950 is a number you should call right now and say you want to become a donor. You want to donate money to WBAI to make sure that WBAI stays on the air. 1-212-209-2950, and you'll say, hey, I want Back of the Book to stay on WBAI, and I want WBAI to stay on the air. And so, yes, we need you to do that. We really need this. This isn't just, oh, it would be nice if some people would pledge. This is an emergency. We are facing being taken off the air, and I don't know what further consequences after that. 1-212-209-2950 is the number to call to pledge and say, I want to help WBAI in this emergency. 1-212-209-2950 and make your emergency pledge and say, I want to pledge some amount of money, $25 or more would be good, but whatever you can spare, and I want to pledge this amount of money, and I want to do that in the name of Back of the Book to help Back of the Book keep WBAI on the air. Again, if you could please call 1-212-209-2950. You'll get the people at the call center who will pick up and tell them you want to pledge in the name of Back of the Book to have WBAI stay on the air. It's vitally important, and we're really asking you to do this. And oh boy, I hope you folks will do that. Ah, my godlessness, there we go. That's been it for Back of the Book for this week. All right. Well, we're going to go here now. Now, you know, it's a depressing time of year. The sun is setting at a ridiculously early time. Maybe Senator Johnson could do something about that. He probably thinks he could. However, you know, it's depressing. However, one thing you can do is, you know, they have all these bright lights and all the Christmas junk and other celebratory junk going on out there and Santa Claus and all of that. Well, you can take advantage of all of this holiday season stuff. Get what you can from it. Now, you don't believe in any of the gods or anything that are, you know, being dealt with in this holiday season. Some of you do. And if you do, hey, go with that, too, and try to feel better about it. And, you know, all the bright lights and the colorful stuff and all of these things. Holy Beelzebub, to coin a phrase. You can go out there and you can say, hey, there's a reason for this. It gets dark. It depresses everybody. And, you know, in Scandinavian countries, you look at buildings and other things, and they use bright colors. He's like, you know, knock your eyes out colors in Scandinavian villages. And you say, why the hell? What's going on there? Why do they do that? Well, the reason they do that is because it's depressing to have it be, you know, only light for like 2 hours a day. And it's all perpetual nighttime, and it's depressing. So they paint the buildings a very bunch of bright colors, and they try to do other things like that. This is the same psychological thing. So, yeah, you're not compromising anything with yourself if you just kind of feel good from looking at the bright lights and say, yeah, I can feel a little bit better. And, you know, the sunsets are going to start being a full minute. A full minute later, this coming Tuesday, so there's that. The solstice is coming up on the 21st, and you can find out more about that on my website. And, yes, you can, in fact, use holiday decorations as a way to brighten yourself up. The bright colors help. All right, that's it. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. We'll be back in 1 week. Coming up next is...
At 6 a.m., Arts Express with Prairie Miller, and at 7 a.m., the Ralph Nader Radio Hour.
Okay, thanks a hell of a lot for listening. Thanks an awful lot if you've pledged, and enjoy the bright colors and bright lights. And above all, remember what that... Using mouthwash to get rid of his stinky breath and not avoid viruses, Dormouse said. Little town and forget about everything. But you know he'll always keep moving. You know he's never gonna stop moving. Cause he's rolling. He's the rolling stone. When you wake up, it's a new morning. The sun is shining. It's a new
can't find that on the radio.
Well, tune in to WBAI and you certainly will get an earful.
You'll turn to that station.
This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned.
And you can ensure that WBAI is here for you now and in the future through WBAI's Tower Fund. Go to towerfund.wbai.org and contribute what you can to ensure that the room which houses WBAI's transmitter at 4 Times Square, which costs $17,000 a month, is paid through the coming year. Please go to towerfund@wbai.org or phone 212-209-2950 to help secure WBAI's future.
And thank you to all of you for contributing. And we hope that you are, we hope that you will decide to make a contribution in support of this commercial-free, listener-sponsored radio station.
Extinction Diaries. As the turbulent year 2020 ended, the International Union for the Conservation of Nature declared 31 more animal species extinct. 17 of those were freshwater fish species at a single lake in the Philippines caused by the introduction of a predator fish. In Central and South America, 25 frogs were declared extinct, all likely from a fungal infection that has been wiping out amphibians across the planet. The so-called lost shark was only formally named in 2019 and declared extinct in 2020. They lived in the South China Sea, where overfishing and the U.S.-China naval tensions leave little room for survival. 31 species being declared extinct may not sound like much to some people, but the number does not reflect the whole story. Many species go extinct before they are even discovered, and many known but rarely studied species go extinct even without notice. Many scientific sources quote figures up to 200 species per day as going extinct.